9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Amazon and Apple contend with the curse of high market expectations. Plus, the U.S. considers deploying troops to stop Iran from attacking commercial ships. And our look at what happens when China's security crackdown collides with Western businesses.
This kind of laser focus on national security may hurt China's chances of realizing Xi's vision to make China a global superpower.
It's Friday, August 4th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. A U.S. appeals court is allowing a rule restricting asylum at the southern border to temporarily stay in place in a major win for the Biden administration. The asylum policy requires migrants to seek protection in a country they're traveling through first or to apply online before being eligible for asylum in the U.S. The court decided late on Thursday to grant the administration's request to keep that policy in place while a legal battle plays out over its legality. Immigration lawyers and advocates have argued that because most Latin American countries don't have asylum protocols, the rule is nearly impossible for migrants to follow, rendering the policy an asylum ban for most migrants. Two U.S. Navy sailors have been charged with spying for China. The sailors are accused of sharing military intelligence, including U.S. naval ship systems and details on Pacific military exercises. The indictments highlight China's deep infiltration in military ranks for insights on the Pentagon's response to perceived threats from Beijing in the Asia-Pacific region. The U.S. Attorney for California's Southern District, Randy Grossman, said that one of the defendants stole information and sold it to his Chinese spy master.
When a soldier or sailor chooses cash over country and hands over national defense information in an ultimate act of betrayal, we have to be ready to act. And that's exactly what we have done here.
Neither sailor could be reached for comment, and a spokesperson for China's embassy in Washington said that China wasn't aware of the details of the cases and that the U.S. government frequently hypes up cases of espionage related to China. American soldiers could soon be placed aboard commercial vessels in the Persian Gulf. According to U.S. officials, the Pentagon is preparing to offer armed sailors and Marines to merchant ships, especially those transiting through the Strait of Hormuz, in order to deter attacks by Iranian forces. Roughly one-fifth of global oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz, and the choke point has become increasingly dangerous. In June, the American and British navies aided a merchant ship that had been harassed by Iran's Revolutionary Guard, and the U.S. said last month that Iran had attempted to seize a pair of oil tankers and fired shots at one of them. The Pentagon and the White House declined to comment, while the Iranian mission to the United Nations didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Shipping bellwether Maersk posted a sharp drop in its second quarter net profit today amid a decline in freight rates and volumes. The company warned that a slowdown in global trade will continue for longer than initially forecast, denting container shipping demand through the end of the year. However, cost cutting by the shipping giant helped earnings to beat expectations, prompting the company to raise its full year guidance. Shares of Amazon jumped nearly 9% in aftermarket trading on the heels of reporting double-digit revenue growth and projecting similarly sunny results for the next quarter, which topped analysts' expectations. Apple, meanwhile, is seeing its shares tick down after confirming its third consecutive quarter of declining revenues. Journal Markets reporter Anna Hertenstein told us that while on the surface the two companies have little in common, both need to move a lot of goods and services in order to make their numbers work.
So for Apple, the news yesterday was that the services revenue is up and hit a new high. This was from streaming music and TV, as well as App Store software. It will need strength there in terms of the stock, given that Apple's run so far this year has been pretty extraordinary. Its shares are up more than 45%. And going forward, what people are really looking for is whether these sales of iPhones can come back. For Amazon, it's more of a stabilization story. You're seeing demand for tech services stabilizing, and they're reporting that cost cuts are really starting to benefit its bottom line. And it also helps that there's a little bit more wiggle room in terms of its share price. Its shares are up around 50% on the year, but still down around a third versus its high in 2021. So while the company appears on a stronger roll, it does still have further to run.
And it's Jobs Day USA, with the Labor Department set to release its July jobs report, which is expected to show robust employment growth and low joblessness. But for the Federal Reserve, it will be all about the wage data today, with any signs of easing employer spending potentially signaling that its efforts to curb inflation are finally slowing the economy. Coming up, political pressure is making it harder for foreign companies to do business in China. Recent efforts to counter perceived foreign threats are a key priority for Xi Jinping, but could they be choking off a crucial economic engine when China can least afford it? That story after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This week and next, we're continuing to take an in-depth look at China and how Xi Jinping's dream of transforming the country into a global superpower is progressing. This special series has already looked at China's economy, as well as how Xi's ambitions to retake Taiwan could reshape the country's reputation. And this week, we're looking at Beijing's recent crackdown on global business and how that is being viewed abroad. Wall Street Journal Chief China Correspondent Lingling Wei has been tracking how companies are responding to Xi's increasingly authoritarian regime. And she joins me now from New York. Lingling, we are so glad to have you on today to talk about the operating environment that major businesses are encountering inside China now. Tell us how this compares to business as usual before.
The business environment for foreign companies in China these days can be summed up in one word: challenging. In fact, it is much, much more challenging than in years past. First of all, you have an economy and a market that is not growing as fast as it used to. Then the top leader Xi Jinping has shifted the overarching focus for the government from economic development to national security. So that means in today's China, the need to fend off any perceived foreign threats is more important than the need to keep and attract foreign capital. As a result, foreign businesses in China are subject to much greater scrutiny by the government than ever before. What's especially notable this year is that China expanded an anti-espionage law that has made global CEOs worry that even conducting routine business activities in China, such as market research, could be construed as spying. Meanwhile, Xi Jinping has also put his top security czar in charge of a campaign targeting U.S. consulting and due diligence firms, firms that authorities believe might have had access to data or information the government doesn't want the outside world to know. So as a result, risks have risen significantly for foreign companies in a market that is shrinking.
That anti-espionage law you mentioned, do companies know how to navigate around that law?
The problem really is the law is very murky and very broad. They never really explained what specific activities would be considered as spying. So far this year, there have been a few publicized cases, you know, of Chinese authorities raiding or investigating U.S. consulting firms or due diligence firms like Bain and Ming's Group. We know that some foreign consulting firms have already paused work in China, especially as related to semiconductors and other sensitive industries. A senior U.S. business executive I spoke to recently said he fears in 5 years, multinational firms may find it very difficult to get any credible firms to do due diligence for them in China.
And is this ratcheting up of pressure on businesses having an economic effect yet?
That is a great question. China is really losing foreign investment, foreign capital, at a time when they need it the most. Going into this year, various levels of government made it an urgent task to keep and attract foreign investment. They even labeled 2023 the year of investing China, quote unquote. Behind that push is the dire economic and financial situation cities all over the country are facing. That effort, however, is running headlong into Xi Jinping's national security agenda. So we're already seeing impact on China's economy based on data compiled and analyzed by this research firm called Rhodium Group. Foreign direct investment in China fell to $20 billion in the first quarter of this year, compared with $100 billion in last year's first quarter. And, you know, Goldman Sachs is predicting that outflows from China this year will cancel out investment going into the country. If that trend sustains, that would be a stunning change for a country that over the past four decades has consistently seen more money coming in than going out.
And yet, as you describe it, Ling Ling, it doesn't sound as if Xi's prioritization of national security, of ring-fencing the Chinese system, is something he's necessarily prone to revisiting.
You're right, Luke. The Chinese government definitely is feeling a tremendous amount of pressure to resuscitate economic growth. They feel the economic pressure. But the question is, would that kind of pressure be big enough for Xi Jinping to really meaningfully change course? So far, we haven't seen any signs of him trying to downplay the emphasis on national security. It really is a remarkable shift from the previous decades when China's leaders valued economic development over everything else. But now, this kind of laser focus on national security may hurt China's chances of realizing Xi's vision to make China a global superpower. To do that, you still need foreign capital, foreign technology, and foreign know-how to make that dream a reality.
Given that broader impact, is there a world in which this crackdown on business bleeds into geopolitics, perhaps entrenching the winner-takes-all fight that, for instance, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned of between the U.S. and China?
It is definitely part of the geopolitical competition between the United States and China, because it ultimately comes down to, you know, which country is in a stronger position. Generations of Chinese leaders have this very big ambition of eventually surpassing the United States in terms of the size of economy. And back in 2020, Xi Jinping laid out very ambitious plans to basically expand China's wealth and double the size of the nation's economy by 2035. That target would require China's economy to grow an average of nearly 5% every year over 15 years. And, you know, foreign investment is really important to that ambition. It's not just about money, but expertise, advanced technology, management know-how. Based on what we have seen so far this year, the increased trend of foreign companies leaving China or divesting out of China is really not helping in terms of Xi Jinping's goal to realize the economic objectives he himself has established. So we're seeing China actually doing its own part to decouple from the advanced economies, from some of its most major trading partners. It definitely will have greater geopolitical implications down the road.
That was Wall Street Journal chief China correspondent Lingling Wei joining me today from New York. Lingling, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
And speaking of decoupling between the U.S. and China, on our final episode of this China series next week, we'll look at who will power the AI of the future. After decades of work, China thinks that it has a semiconductor that can challenge U.S. companies like NVIDIA and help it develop AI technology on its own terms. But can China actually spin up domestic industry enough to become technologically self-reliant? Tune in next Friday. And finally, speaking of AI, could it in fact be getting dumber? That is the suggestion of research out of Stanford and the University of California, Berkeley, which tested the two different versions of ChatGPT that are currently available. And Journal Numbers columnist Josh Zumbrun says that raises questions about whether artificial intelligence can actually become a human substitute.
On some tasks, the chatbot really is getting worse over time. It's not just an anecdotal impression. It's getting worse at evaluating whether or not something is a prime number. It's getting worse at generating computer code to do math problems. The researchers call this phenomenon drift. And what they mean is that when you make updates to the software that you're trying to improve one aspect of it, you can accidentally cause other aspects of it to get worse. It tells us something pretty profound about how we might expect this technology to advance. It's not going to be a straight line. There's going to be improvement, and then there's also going to be regression. And people using the software are going to have to keep a very close eye on its performance to make sure that it's still doing the things that you wanted it to do. This isn't the kind of technology where you can take that kind of consistency for granted.
And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.